on Acts chapter number 2 tonight, book of Acts chapter number 2, and we're going to read this passage of Scripture one final time, and then we'll get right into the thought of the message for tonight. The Bible says in Acts chapter number 2, and in verse number 36, it says, "Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus, whom ye have cried both Lord and Christ. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart, and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? And then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, Save yourselves from this untoward generation. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common and sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved." The text of the message will come from the two final verses, where it says in verse number 46, "And they, continuing daily." Tonight, with the help of the Lord, I want to look at that thought of a daily church. This church was not just something that they were here on Sunday and going on Sunday night and there on Wednesday and going on Wednesday night. They found a reason to do the Lord's work every single day of the week. And so, with the help of the Lord, I'd like to preach a message entitled, "A Daily Church." Let's pray. We'll get right into the thought. Our Heavenly Father, God, thank you for the truth of your word. God, I thank you for how you have spoken to my heart through this passage of Scripture, Lord, these last several weeks, Lord, as we've studied your church, and Lord, what you intend for all of your churches to, Lord, follow and to duplicate. Lord, I pray that you'd help First Baptist Church tonight. Lord, as we examine this thought, help us to be a daily church. And God, I pray that you'd fill me with your power, Lord. I need your touch. I need your help. Lord, in and of myself, I'll fail you, Lord. So I yield myself to you, and I ask that you would preach through me, that the message would be a help and an encouragement to our church family. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen. This evening, as we conclude our study on God's church, we have looked over the last several weeks, and we took 2 weeks off there for while I was gone, but over the last several weeks, we have looked at this thought of God's church, and we've looked at this passage of Scripture as well as others, and when we consider God's church, we have been interested in learning what was that first prototype of this early church. What did they do that pleased God so much, and what can we do to make sure we put these things in place in our church so that we have the favor of God upon First Baptist Church as well? We've learned several things. We learned, first of all, that this church was a receptive church. The Bible says that they heard the Word of God, and they didn't just hear the Word of God, but then they asked the question, "What shall we do?" They were not just interested in being hearers of the Word of God, but they wanted to be doers also. And that's so vitally important that we don't just hear the Word of God, we don't just read our Bibles, but we take the truths of the Word of God and we apply them to our life. You see, if all we do is read and we obtain and we take it in, but we never put it into practice, then it's really not doing us any good, and it's not doing anybody else any good either. You see, this church was a receptive church. They asked the question, "What shall we do?" And that's a question that we need to ask every time we hear preaching from this pulpit or another pulpit, and we read our Bibles in our daily devotional time. We need to ask the Lord, "How do I apply this to my life so I can put it into place so that I can be a better servant for you?" And so they were a receptive church, but they were also a doctrinal church. They were interested in following the apostles' doctrine. The Bible says they continued in the apostles' doctrine. This was not the apostles' opinion. This was not their philosophy. This was the doctrine, the truths that Jesus Christ taught his disciples, and they just took what they had learned and they taught it to others also. And that's what we're supposed to do. Whenever you sit in a Sunday school class or when you hear preaching behind this pulpit, you should hear the same things over and over and over and over again. Repetition's the key to learning, and that's what you ought to hear. You ought to hear preaching that just emphasizes the same thing, because many times that's what we need, is we need it to hit us over and over and over again before we finally break loose and apply it to our life. And so this was a doctrinal church. This was a receptive church. But also, we studied that this church was a fellowshipping church. The Bible talks about how they fellowshipped one with another. And it wasn't just a fellowship while they were in the church building, but that fellowship continued from house to house where they break bread and they enjoyed each other's company and how important fellowship is. We'll have a little part of that on Saturday. But that's a fellowship for us to enjoy each other's company and to edify us and to encourage us in our God. And they were a fellowshipping church. They were a praying church. They knew the importance of prayer and spending time with the Lord in prayer. That's where they got their power to go out and do the work that God had called upon this church to do. They were a feared church because they had the power of God in their life. They were feared by the feared in the community because, man, God was at that place. And may we have that same power upon our church as well. And we also learned they were a unified church. They continued in one accord. And then we learned that they were a generous church. They were generous to the Lord's work. They were generous to others. And it's important for us to be generous as well. And tonight I want to just conclude this series with the thought that they were a daily church. Again, in verse number 46, the Bible says, "And they continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved." You see, this church was interested in doing something for the Lord every single day. They didn't want to miss out on what God was doing at the church house. They didn't just pop in and then pop out. They continued daily. Somehow, they found opportunity to go to the church house every single day. You see, a church where there's daily activity is an exciting place. I love the fact that you can come to our church Monday through Friday, even Saturday and Sunday, and you can find activity going on. You realize that's not the place everywhere you go. Some churches, they close up shop on Sunday night, and the pastor don't show back up till Wednesday afternoon to turn the lights on and turn the air back on. But I'm thankful, First Baptist Church, you can show up here Monday at 9 o'clock. Miss Nancy will be here. I probably won't be here. But you can show up on Tuesday sometime during the day and I'll be here. I'm around. That's important to have a church that's daily involved in the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're not just here to answer the phone and take complaints. We're not here for that. No. Every once in a while, people show up on a Monday or Tuesday or Wednesday and Miss Nancy has the opportunity to give them the gospel. Sometimes they come in needing some food or they need a power bill paid, and then we have the opportunity maybe to help that need, but also to give them the gospel. See, it's an amazing thing to have activity going on. It's an exciting thing, a constant hub of activity. You see, our church on our Facebook, we don't close. It says always open. You understand that? Because we are in the Lord's work 24/7, 7 days a week. We want to help people, and that's what we're here for. You see, being a disciple of Jesus Christ is a daily activity. It's not just something we put the hat on and then we take it off. No, it's a daily activity to be a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says in Luke 9:23, "And he said unto them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." You see, we can break this early church, their daily activities, we can break it up into three different categories. Let me give them to you quickly tonight. Number one, notice this, there was a daily involving. A daily involving. You see, this involving was their duty toward God. This was their duty toward God. Notice it again in verse number 46. The Bible says, "And they continuing daily with one accord in the temple." There was three things that they did daily that was their duty toward God. First of all, they praised God. The Bible says in verse number 47, "Praising God and having favor with all the people." They were a church that was busy praising God. And for this to be a part of their description, it wasn't just something that they did periodically. This wasn't just a testimony time or a praise service the week of Thanksgiving that they did. No. They found it necessary to praise God every single day. And it would do us well to learn to direct all praise back to God. You see, anything that takes place in, that's good or great in this place, God deserves all of the praise. And who are we to steal His praise? And many times we are guilty of trying to take recognition for what we do, or we like the applause of men, or we like the accolades of man. You see, anything we get to do in the service of the King is a privilege. And we ought to look at anything, any good that comes in our life as saying, God, You allowed me to do that. And we ought to not steal His praise. The Bible says in Psalm 61:8, so I will sing praise unto Thy name forever, that I may daily perform my vows. Psalm 113:3 says, from the rising of the sun unto the going down of the same, the Lord's name is to be praised. And you may sit there and say, well, why did they praise the Lord? And why should we praise the Lord? And I believe all of that is summed up in Psalm 68:19, where the Bible says, blessed be the Lord who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation, Selah. You see, Jesus Christ deserves all of our praise because of His goodness in our life. Anything that good that takes place in our life or in our church, we need to learn to say, thank the Lord, praise the Lord, glory be to God, because He is the one that deserves all of the praise. And as long as we know where to direct the praise, and as long as we are not concerned with who gets the praise, there's no telling what God can do in this church and in each and every one of our lives. And so they praised the Lord, but they also prayed to the Lord. The Bible says in Acts 2:42, it says, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. You see, this wasn't just their prayer time when they were at the house of God. They continued daily in praying. If you were to look in Acts chapter number 3 and in verse number 1, the Bible says, now Peter and John went up together into the temple, notice this, at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. You see, Peter and John, they're going up to the temple to pray at the hour of prayer. It wasn't the day of prayer. They were going to pray on the certain hour of prayer because it was important to be a praying people every single day of the week. I'm concerned that sometimes we find our prayer life is simply on Wednesday night prayer meeting, or maybe around the dinner table, or maybe before you go to bed. But God desires for His children to have a prayer life every single day of the week. You see, they prayed for boldness. And if you were to go to Acts chapter number 4 and look with me at verse number 24, just turn a page over. Acts chapter number 4, verse number 24. Notice their prayer. This is their prayer to God in Acts 4, verse number 24. The Bible says this, and when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, Thou art God, which hast made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is that in them is, who by the mouth of Thy servant David hast said, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth stood up, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against His Christ. For of a truth, against Thy holy child Jesus, whom Thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate and the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together for to do whatsoever Thy hand and Thy counsel determined before it to be done. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto Thy servants the boldness that they may speak Thy word, by stretching forth Thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of Thy holy child Jesus. Notice this, and when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. Now listen, it's important for us to pray that same prayer, that God, would You please help us to have boldness in our prayer life, boldness in our church, boldness when we share the gospel. They were a people that were busy praying in the church daily. But also, number three that they did daily for the Lord was preparation. You see, the Bible says in Acts chapter number 17 and verse number 11, it says, these were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the Scriptures daily whether those things were so. You see, they were interested in knowing the Word of God, being ready always to give an answer to any man when they ask you about the faith that is in Christ Jesus. And listen, it's important for us to know what we believe and be ready to give an answer. Just yesterday, after the funeral, some of Miss Barb's family came up and was speaking with Miss Barb, and there was a young man that was here, speaking with Miss Nancy, and there was a young man that was talking to her, and he made a statement. He said, we invited him to church and such, and he made the statement. He says, well, I've got a lot of answers for God, and it'll be a hard time before I can come back until he can answer those questions. And I just made the statement to him. I said, well, sir, I said, I hope you'll give God an opportunity to answer those questions. Just because you have questions for God doesn't mean he's not ready to answer those questions that you have for him. And I wish he'd give us an opportunity to show him from the Word of God, because those answers, those questions can be answered from the Word of God if he'd give God the opportunity. And so this church was a daily involving. They found a reason to come to the house of God every single day, and they praised God, they prayed to God, and they were prepared with the scriptures to answer any man. But number two, I want you to notice this, there was a daily investing. And so this daily involving was their duty to God, but this daily investing was their duty to each other. If you go back to Acts chapter number 2 and verse number 46, the Bible says this, they continuing daily with one accord, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. The Bible is clear that we need each other. The church was put here to help minister to the spiritual and social needs of the believer. Now listen, it's important that we have each other. A church is not just a place to meet your spiritual needs, although it definitely is that. It's a place where you have friends. It's a place to meet those social needs in our life. You may be a loner and you may be a recluse, but you still need people. You still need people in your life. And it's important that we have each other. God's word's clear. You see, we're supposed to separate from the world. We're supposed to separate from those that are lost and don't please the Lord. And so you know what that leaves? That leaves the church and that leaves God. And that's who we should fellowship. You see, a church where the people are involved is a wonderful thing. A church where the people are involved with each other is a wonderful thing. To where you're more than just wave them across the aisle that I seen you on Sunday, but I'm interested in what's going on in your family's life on Tuesday. And listen, it's a wonderful thing to be able to have that in a church family, and I thank the Lord that we have a lot of that here at First Baptist Church. Now listen, these early church Christians, they interacted with each other in a close way, on a personal level. They went to each other's house. They break bread. They enjoyed with gladness and singleness of heart. They enjoyed each other's company. And that's a wonderful thing, isn't it? You see, this church was amazing because it provided not only the basis for their relationship with God, but it also provided the basis for the relationship with others. You see, we need people in our life. We need the encouragement of other Christians. A vital part of God's plan for His church was the interaction that we have with our brothers and sisters in Christ. And God intended for the church to minister to each family daily. If you were to go to Acts chapter number 6 and verse number 1, the Bible says this, and in those days when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews. And so they started bickering because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. And so they found a reason. They said, look, there's a group being neglected, and so they found the reason to involve the deacons in the whole situation. And Paul urged the early church to help one another daily. You see, we're in this to help each other. You see, this work of the church, this work that God has called upon the pastor, the deacons, as well as the church as a whole, it's a daily work, and it's not something that is to be put on and put off. Paul even talked about it in 2 Corinthians in 11, verse number 28. He says, beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. Paul said, there's so much that I have to do every single day. And listen, there's much to do in the work of God that I can't just put it off for Sunday. I can't just put it off for the midweek service. I need to be faithful every single day in what God needs me to do for the churches. You see, a thriving New Testament church has needs that every single day. Some of these needs include love for one another daily. You understand, sometimes what folks need is a simple text to let them know that you're thinking about them, you're praying for them. The Bible says in John 15:7, these things I command you that ye love one another. We need to serve one another daily. The Bible says in John 13, verse number 14, if I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. One of the notes that I found in Miss Barb's Bible was when I preached that series a couple of years ago about I'll take the towel, and how she had penciled in there about how the Lord was the example in washing His disciples' feet, and how we too ought to take the towel and wash, not necessarily washing feet, but to serve others in our life as well. Jesus was that perfect example of serving others. You realize it don't always have to be about us. It don't always have to be about our needs. Someone always has a need greater than ours. And if you'll get your eyes off of your needs and your problems and your concerns and get them on somebody else's, it really makes ours seem very small, don't it? You see, we need to serve others daily. We need to pray for each other daily. Listen, if you don't have your church family on your prayer list, I urge you to do so. I urge you to have me at the top of that list because I could use your prayers. And I don't take that for granted. I don't take your prayers for granted. I email the men every Tuesday the reports of the offering and the bills and such, and I put on there that I've prayed for them, but I appreciate your prayers for me and my family. I've got to have them. The moment that you want the devil to get a hold of my life, stop praying for me, and it'll happen. I'm flesh. I'm human flesh just like you are. And so if you want to be strong spiritually, then pray for me. And the same is true for you, as the people that God's put in my life. I need to pray for you. Because the moment that I want the devil to get in your life and to get in your family and to get in your homes, I'll just take you off the prayer list. And it's just a matter of time before the devil will find his way there. Listen, it's important that we pray for one another. Paul said in Acts chapter number 12, verse number 5, Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. We need to pray for each other daily. We need to consider each other daily. Hebrews 10:24 says, let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Listen, that's part of the responsibility of the child of God, is to provoke one another to love and to good works. We need to comfort one another daily. There's times whenever one of our brothers and sisters in Christ need comforted. And that was, you illustrated that perfectly yesterday. Many of you were there. You took off of work. You made yourself available to comfort Miss Barb's family. Just your presence alone was powerful for her church family. You were there to comfort them. We need the support of others daily. We need to edify each other daily. This is not just a Sunday chore list, you see. This is something that the people in the early church did daily. They were heavily involved with each other's life, to the point that they wanted each one to make it for the cause of Christ. God's prototype of the local church was a church where people served one another daily. So it was a daily, involving. That was their duty to God. It was a daily investing. That was their duty to each other. But then lastly tonight, I want you to notice it was a daily increasing. And this was their duty toward the lost. Realize we have a responsibility as a church family to the lost and dying world that we live in. The Bible says in verse number 47 again, the latter part, it says, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. You see, the church should be a place that is fulfilling the Great Commission 7 days a week. It'd be wonderful in the future we had opportunities every day of the week for soul winning. Wouldn't that be wonderful? Amen. It'd be wonderful. To where we'd have maybe a ladies group go out, maybe a older, maybe widow lady or widower group go out. Maybe we have a men's soul winning time. Maybe we have a deacon soul winning time. We have a pastoral staff soul winning time. We have all of these soul winning times 7 days a week. Wouldn't that be a wonderful thing? It'd be a wonderful thing. That's what the church was all about. They were about serving the lost by giving them the gospel. You see, a church should have an evangelistic ministry on which the sun never sets. And that's why we support missionaries. While y'all were sleeping 14 hours ahead, we were in the Philippines, and those missionaries we support there were busy doing the work that God has called them to do. Isn't it? When I'm sleeping, I'm still fulfilling the Great Commission, because we're sending money around the world. And conferences, God's work's getting done 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. That's a wonderful thing, isn't it? The Father's business is not a Wednesday night. It's not a Sunday-only business. You see, the church was interested in reaching people every single day. You see, it can't be just a Sunday and a Wednesday business because people die every single day. The lost need a witness every day. The unsaved are begging daily. The door to reach folks is open every single day. Acts 3:2, if you're right there after our from our text, Acts chapter number 3, verse number 2, look at this. The Bible says, a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid, notice this, daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful. You see, the opportunities to reach people are presented every single day. Our obligation is to tell them every day. Our obligation is to tell them. We need to be a church that is busy sharing the gospel, witnessing to others, carrying gospel tracts. You know the reason we don't give out gospel tracts? Because we don't carry them. You have one with you, it's a lot easier to hand it out. But how many missed opportunities have we had where you would, in your heart, it even crossed your mind, I need to give them a tract. I'm guilty of this. I don't wear a lot of shirts with pockets unless I'm wearing a suit. Thank God for a wife that carries them in her purse. But those opportunities come, they cross our mind, and I'm like, man, they need a tract. And then I'm like, hey, Leah, give me a tract. And we give them a tract. But how many missed opportunities where she was out and I didn't have them on me, and we didn't give them a tract? See, that's the reason we don't give them out. It's because we don't carry them on us. You see, we have an obligation to daily tell the lost about Christ. Acts chapter number 16 and verse number 5 says, and so were the churches established in the faith and increased in number daily. Acts 17:17 says, therefore disputed he in the synagogue with the Jews and with the devout persons and in the market daily with them that met with him. It was Paul's burden to have the church busy doing the Lord's work every single day. The church was a daily church. They understood their daily responsibility to the Lord. They understood their daily responsibility to each other, and they understood their daily responsibility to the lost. Listen, I'm not worried about the power bill being too much because we maybe have to turn on the lights too often if you come in here every day for something. We want activity around the church house, a daily activity. You come in here on a Wednesday or a Thursday or a Friday, say, Pastor, can you unlock the door? I need to get some tracks because I want to go soul winning. That's yet to happen, but let me know and I'll open the door, okay? I'll even go with you. We got to be about the Lord's work daily, church. There's a lost and dying world that needs the gospel. There's people that die every single day. And as I said on Sunday, what a missions trip does for me more than anything is it just sets the reset button for my priorities. Get my priorities straight. Well, what am I consumed with? Am I consumed with this or that? At the end of the day, I need to be consumed with reaching people with the gospel. That's what we're here for. I need to be consumed with encouraging my church family. I need to be consumed with lifting high the Lord Jesus Christ and His work. And as we think about God's church, this prototype of the early church, what God wanted all other churches to duplicate, let's examine ourselves. Sure, we've been in this thing for 185 years as a church family, and praise the Lord for that. What a milestone. But what is that? Is that just a trophy on our mantle that we get to say, well, we've done it the longest? No. We're but one generation from extinction. One generation. And if we, as the adults now, don't set the example, there'll rise another generation that knows not the Lord. And there won't be a whatever the math is on 185 times 2. There won't be that. So we must be faithful daily. This was a daily church. And so I ask you to examine yourself as part of this church family. In these characteristics that we've studied these 8 weeks or so, how are you doing with each of those characteristics? Are you receptive to the Word of God, or have you put up a cold heart towards the Word of God? To where not even, man, just God is chiseling away, but you are so cold and indifferent towards Him that you won't eat through. Are you a generous? Are you praying? Are you fellowshipping, and the list could go on and on. Let's examine ourselves, and where we need improvement, let's work on that so that we can be the church that God wants us to be. With every head bowed, every eye closed, thank you for listening tonight.